Om Shanti.
This is the Avyakta Murli of 31st December 2003. 13th point, the title is Drill. One moment, be a master, and the next moment, be a child. Explanation. Babdada hears this song of the royal form of I a great deal. Whatever I did was fine. Whatever I thought was fine. That is what should happen. This consciousness of I deceives you. You may think about something, speak about it, but do it with the motive of a humble instrument. Babdada has already also taught you a spiritual drill earlier. What drill is that? One moment, be a master, and the next moment, be a child. Be a master in giving your ideas. Then when it is finalized by the majority, become a child. This spiritual drill of being a master and a child is most essential. Simply remember the three words of teachings from Babdada. Do all of you remember them? In your thoughts, be incorporeal, nirakar. In your words, be nirankar, egoless. In your actions, be nirvikari, wifeless. Whenever you have any thought, create those thoughts whilst stable in the incorporeal stage. Even if you forget everything else, don't forget these three words. These teachings of the three words are a gift from the Sakar form. So Baba has said three things over here. First thing, Baba is hearing one song. Which song he is hearing? A lot? I. Whatever I did was fine. Whatever I thought was fine. That is what should happen. This consciousness of I deceives you. This consciousness of I deceives you. This I is predominating everywhere. What I think is right. What I do is right. This should be done this way. If you don't take my advice, do it yourself. I am going. I have no business. Follow what I say. Do what I say. This I everywhere. This is a great deceiver. It deceives you everywhere. Because what Baba is saying here, whenever you think about something, speak about it, but here you have to do with the motive of a humble instrument. Because whenever this I predominates, this feeling of being an instrument disappears totally. I remains. Instrument feeling goes away. And this I is a great deceiver. This I is a great deceiver. And how this I comes? This is so subtle, even we don't realize. Whenever we say I, there is unconsciously an ego associated with that. Because most of the time when we say I, this is said, this is as if arising from that body consciousness. It is not always arising from that soul consciousness. And we are used to body consciousness for a long time. That is why most of the time when we say I, it is invariably associated with body consciousness. It is so less often that when we say I, we are thinking of ourselves as soul. So this practice is very much necessary to dissolve this I of body consciousness. Because we know our specialities, we know what we are, and when somebody points out a flaw, a defect, we are angry, we are upset. Because here that I is hurt deeply. This I feeds on some ingredients like praise, attention, care. When these ingredients are not provided to this I rebels. And this rebellion is so subtle, then it is manifested in the form of vices. So the basic thing is to study this I. If suppose people are not giving much attention to me, how do I feel? If people don't give me their love, how do I feel? If they don't give me their attention, love, care, support, how do I feel? If when I am not given all of these things and still I am stable, that means we are walking in the right direction. But when we are deprived of all these things and there is a fluctuation, upheaval in our stage, probably this I is sitting inside in a very majestic manner. There was once a sculptor and he used to make beautiful statues. Once the angel of death came to him and told him that next day evening death is coming to take him away. So whole day he is so troubled and worried. What he does, because he was a skilled, a very dexterous sculptor, so what he creates 11 different statues. All those statues are so much similar to him that anybody would get deceived, and he also stands there. This is an imaginary story, and he also stands there as a 12th statue. So in the evening those angels of death come and they are confused, who is the real man, because everybody is looking alike. So those angels go back to God and they tell him, this is the thing, what should we do? We are confused. You told us to bring that man, but there are 12. How to bring? So God says something in their ears and they come back. And those angels start moving around those statues. And then they reach one statue and they say, this statue is so beautiful, but there is a flaw. But there is a defect. And because of this defect, this one defect, this statue is not so beautiful. And this man who was just standing there, he jumps out and says, who told? What defect? It is not possible that this statue has got defect. I have made them. So that angel of death says, this is the defect. I. That is why. Now, let's go. This was the defect. That whatever I do, whatever I have done, that is without flaw. That is perfect. Who are you to point out? This I deceives. How it comes, when it comes, how subtly it comes, that we need a very keen eye, a very analytical mind. Myopic vision will not help. We need to have that, a mind that can x-ray each and every situation. Such subtlety of mind is necessary. So, how the I comes, when it comes, what are the situations, when it becomes all the more powerful, that is what is required. That requires a very deep analysis. Second thing Baba said here is about spiritual drill. Which spiritual drill? Be a master, be a child. When to become a master and when to become a child? This balance is very important. Master, child. Master, child. Child means a person who is obedient. When to obey and when to talk with authority as a master. Baba often uses this phrase for meetings. Whenever you are in a meeting, you give whatever you think is right, your opinion, your ideas, your notions about things, your planning, your viewpoint, your perspective. But when things are finalized, then you should not bring that thing in between. You have to accept what is accepted by majority. You have to keep that little I aside, that little ego aside. But if suppose I do not keep it and I carry that grudge against somebody that they have not accepted my opinion, my viewpoint. And they always do like this. And they always avoid me, avoid my opinion. That time, this feeling of being insulted deepens. And that can manifest as revenge in future. So that is why, be master while giving your opinion. Be master, but when it is finalized, become a child and accept. This is one situation where you practice this drill. What are the other situations where you have to balance this being a master and child? While seeing patients, you become a master. And when you will become child? When you become patient. Oh! If a doctor doctors a doctor, is the doctor who doctors a doctor, is the way the doctor doctorizing a doctor? Think what I said. This is a difficult English sentence, they say. So, being a doctor, you are master. But when you are a doctor, becomes a patient. But this is very much specific for doctors. Tell in general, for everyone. So, okay, this can be taken as second situation. Third, but what is the question of being master here? Master, something. While you are narrating this knowledge to others, be a master and give this knowledge. No matter in front of you any VIP is sitting. No matter whosoever is sitting in front of you. Because who has given you the authority? The supreme authority has given you the authority. So you need not to fear. There might be people who have read all the scriptures and you are told to give a speech on speech in front of them on Bhagavad Gita. You are fearing, I don't know Bhagavad Gita and these people are stalwarts, masters. How will I speak? There you have to become a master. And suppose, when they become a speaker, you become a child. No need to oppose them because you know that they are in the darkness. They do not know the truth. Let them assert whatever they are saying. Because many times we conduct conferences, so we have to respect them. They talk about omnipresence of God, sitting on the, they stand on the dais and talk about the omnipresence of God. We know what is it, but we have to still sit like a child and listen, because we have called them, they are our guests. So that is one situation where can become master and child, yes. If you are teaching something, you can be a master. But if you are learning something, you should be a child. Yeah. Yes. That is a very, very, very delicate point. When you ask for feedback, that time you should become a child. But, there is one more thing to it. You teach as if you are a master, but then, feedback are so varied, so different feedbacks. There would be negative feedback, there would be positive feedback. You have to remain stable in your own position, in your own stage. If you get 10 negative feedbacks and 1 positive feedback, one is to listen to them, okay. But when you know that you are right, and you are talking Gyan, and you have the authority of Gyan, and those people are declining, denying whatever you are saying, and giving you negative feedback, that time you need not to get influenced by their opinion. About the content, you are talking about the? Yes, in that way you should always become a child. Yes, right. She is right. You have to be a child and accept. Because it is very egoistic to say that, no, I don't want to listen to what they are talking about me or what I said. I should be a child, humble child. That obedience should be there. Okay, that is another. One more situation where you should have to have the balance of being a master and child. You can churn on this more today. Master, child. Master, child. This actually you have to do many times throughout the day. Many times, not once or twice. Many times while dealing with others. While you are listening to others, in your work, in dealing with your boss, whosoever is your in charge. When it is absolutely gross injustice or something, you have to become master and tell the truth. This is the truth. But on other side, you have to become child. When you are instructed that it is like this only, that time you have to assume that role of a child. Otherwise, there would be conflicts. There are two rules about boss and his employee. Rule number one is boss is always right. And rule number two, if boss is not right, follow rule number one. That is, boss is always right. Yes? King can do no wrong. Okay. So, in our workplace, this balance is very much required. Because we have to work, there would be some juniors, some seniors and some colleagues. Three things always. There would be some people who are seniors, some juniors and some would be colleagues. So, you have to know, strike this balance, where to become a master, where to become a child. Because sometimes, when you have to become a child and if you become a master, that time great conflicts can arise. Great conflicts can arise. This is a more dangerous situation. First situation is less dangerous. You have to become a master, but you become a child. Okay, not much harm. But when you have to become a child and you became a master, that time, more conflicts, more sorrow, more suffering, more quarrel can happen. Because you have to become a child, you have to become a humble person and you are becoming haughty or arrogant. That time, people may not tolerate. So that is this. So work on this today. And third thing Baba said is, when you think, be incorporeal stage. When you speak, it should be egoless. And when you act, they should be viceless. Nirakari, Nirvikari, Nirankari. This is a gift from Sakar form. This is a gift from Sakar form. And whenever we are in the bodiless stage, and whatever thoughts we think, those thoughts are very much elevated. Most of the times when we think, we plan, we are not in bodiless stage. We are in body consciousness and then we plan. That's why yesterday we talked about drills in subtle world. Tell Baba about the planning of the day. Amrit Vela itself. Because that time we are in that nirakari stage, in that incorporeal stage. And in incorporeal stage, we are making planning for what we have to do whilst we are corporeal. So, this planning would be very much spotless, will not be prejudiced. So think in the incorporeal stage. Whatever you speak, that should be egoless. I. Brush aside this I. He, not me. It's one of the ways to get rid of I is to use the word we. Is to say we. Rather than saying, I have done this seva, say, we have done this seva. Rather than saying that I had gone to a particular place and did this service, you have to change the language. Change the language. Maybe you are very much egoistic. You can keep your ego. But change. Yeah, Baba, sometimes, you know, even that looks so much artificial. Some people say they are doing everything themselves and they want to show off, but they are taking name of Baba. That's a very political situation which is created. They want to blow their own trumpet. They want to show off, but at the end they take Baba's name as a protective device. So that people should not say that he is egoistic. So this is a very subtle. One of the ways is, yes, okay, another way is to use third person, like Dadi used to say. But suppose if we use, people may say this is, oh, artificial. If I say this, take my own name and say that he did this, it might look artificial. So another very best way of doing it to use we everywhere. We did this. In English it is quite difficult. In Hindi it is quite simple. It's easy. Hum. Not to use main, but to use hum. It's quite easy. But in English the language difficulty is there. How to become humble in English is a separate topic. In language I am talking. Because in English you have to use everywhere. I think, you know, I think, I did, I. If you say we, means there are many people. But in Hindi, even if you say hum, it means one person. But it is a majestic, royal way of saying I. But that is a protective device. But here also, still we can say, the service was good. Otherwise, don't use anything. No pronouns. No, don't use pronouns. I, we, or us, or you. Service was good. Passive voice. You can sometimes use passive voice. So little, I think, for becoming egoless in speech, we need to study little English grammar. To find out how to speak in an egoless fashion. How to speak in a way that it should not appear that we are just bragging ourselves. Yeah. If they use the third person. Yeah, but it should appear very natural. It should not appear artificial. Even if you use, like Dadi used to say, Dadi has a thought. Dadi felt like this. She used to say, she was the only one she used to say, or Baba says, Baba himself is saying, Baba feels this. It's a third person. Talking about oneself in third person. But if I say, Dr. Sachin feels, or something like that, people will say, oh, stop this jargon. What are you talking all this? Don't try to show off your egolessness. Showing off egolessness. Showing off. To be proud of one's egolessness. This is the greatest of all Maya. So, it happened once that three different sannyasins of three different sects met. And first sannyasi said, our monastery, our mutt, our monastery, all sannyasins are so intelligent, they know all the scriptures. So we are in intelligence, nobody can excel us. Second sannyasin says, forget this. You are talking just about scriptural knowledge. Our sannyasins in our monastery, our mutt, they are full of wisdom. I don't think anybody can show knowledge in a practical form as they show. Third sannyasin said, forget all of you. Our sannyasins are so humble, in humility we are number one. In egolessness, nobody can surpass us. So, even such a situation can arise. So, three things today. First, eye consciousness, where this eye comes, find out. Second, master and child, balance. And third, in speech to become egoless, in action to become voiceless, and in thoughts to become incorporeal. Or in that incorporeal stage, do the thinking, do planning. So that's today's homework. Om Shanti.